Life is a series of problems to be solved. Life is a series of problems to be solved. You say, Lee, that's a very negative approach to life. Well, it's okay to use other definitions of life, but I think most of us will agree that that's surely an accurate definition of life. Life is a series of problems to be solved. Christians have problems just like non-Christians. And the point of today's readings, it's not really a sermon, we're just going to read scripture together. But the point of our reading is, it is better to go through the problems with God rather than without God. It is better to go through the problems with God rather than without God. What I want to do is to talk about some of the attributes of God from the perspective of our problems. I want to talk about some of the attributes of God from the perspective of our problems. And I'd like for you to take the pen that's in the pew rack in front of you and write by your introduction up there a scripture that I should have included when I wrote the notes and didn't do that. That scripture is Romans 8, 18 through 23. Romans 8, 18 through 23. After practicing this little reading deal two or three times, I realized that I need to say that we still live in a sin-cursed world. And our bodies have not yet been redeemed. We still live in a sin-cursed world, and our bodies have not been redeemed. And that passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, teaches that. But what I want us to do is to selfishly look at the greatness of God and some of His attributes. And I want to start by saying it is impossible for us to understand God, but we should try. It is impossible for us to fully understand God, but we should try. The passage I read for our devotional period says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." And then it says, "For my thoughts," this is God speaking, "for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So it's impossible for me to fully understand God. If I fully understood God, I would be God. So I can't fully understand Him. God is beyond my comprehension. But there are certain things about God I can know, and my knowledge of God should be increasing. I should know more about God now than I did 5 years ago. But I should not know as much about God now as I am going to know 5 years from now. So I need to learn more about God. And what I want to do is just pick out a few of God's attributes, and I want us to look at them from the perspective of our problems. And the reason I want to do it that way is because I just say we're going to talk about the attributes of God. Most of you that went to sleep halfway through the sermon, if I do it this way, you may maybe you're last 75% way through before you go to sleep. We're going to talk about the attributes of God from the perspective of our problems. We're going to look at God selfishly. I've got problems. All of us do. No exceptions. And for us, our problems are big problems. Somebody else look at our problems and say, that's nothing. You can deal with that. But from our perspective, our problems are big problems. And so when you think about God, and Christians, and I'm almost sure I'm going to make the mistake through my sermon of saying God's on our side. Whenever you hear me say that, I really mean we on God's side, okay? We on God's side. We joined up with God. But from the perspective of our problems, God's on our side. God is for us, not against us. God wants the best for us. And so the first thing I want you to notice is that God is all-powerful. I remember in Bible college, they tried to teach me all these big words. I don't know why they didn't just say He was all-powerful. They said He was omnipotent. You ever heard that word? He's omnipotent. Yeah, he's all powerful. That means God is stronger than our problems. God is stronger than our problems. There's none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your name in might or in power. God is all powerful. So when I get into trouble, when I have problems and difficulties, the one I go to in my closet and pray, he has all power. He is more powerful than the problems I face. Many times in my own life and in the life of people I talk to, the problem seems overwhelming. The problem seems so big that there just doesn't seem to be any solution. And yet God is all powerful. God is powerful enough to handle my problems. God is all powerful. God is also ever present. They told me that meant he was omnipresent. Whatever that means, he's everywhere at the same time. He's everywhere at the same time. He is always with us in our struggles. Always. Let me read the scriptures, two scriptures here. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? What's the answer? Nowhere. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's a powerful assurance that God is a very present help in trouble. He's there with us as we go through the difficulties. You ever felt alone in a crowd? Just everybody's everywhere, but I still feel I'm by myself. You ever been to the doctor for some kind of test, MRI, some test you're going through, and your family's there and people are there to support you, maybe you're having surgery or whatever. Everybody's around, but you feel so alone. I'm going through this by myself. They're there, and I appreciate them being there, but I still feel alone. God's with me. God's with me. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When I face the difficulties, when I face the problem, God is there. He's always there. And even if my family deserted me, and even my friends deserted me, God is always there. He's present. But that's a two-edged sword. To say God is always present really helps me when I'm facing problems. But how about when I want to commit those secret sins? Yeah. When I want to go in my room and close the door and there's nobody there. How about when I'm in business in which I travel? It's much more of a temptation to get involved in sin when I'm away from home and nobody knows me than it is when I'm around and there's a good possibility somebody's going to see what I'm doing. But the fact is, God is always present. He's always there. And I need to realize, not only does that help me when I'm facing problems, that restricts me when I'm tempted to sin. Because God is always present. He is all-knowing. I'm not sure I know how to pronounce that word. Somebody help me. Omniscient. Is that what you said? Okay. God knows everything, including the right answer to your problems. God knows everything, including the right answer to your problems. How many times do you ever face problems and say, there is no right answer to this one. It's just no right answer. In fact, sometimes there's just some doesn't seem to be any answer. I have a friend who I talk to occasionally on the telephone, who has a granddaughter who quit school, had three children out of wedlock, and so she does not have a job. She does not have any marketable talents. And she's got three kids to raise. Where's the answer? I don't know what to suggest. He said, well, she ought to go back to school and get more education. With three kids? Who's going to keep the kids? Now, you can always say, well, she shouldn't have done that, and that's true. That's right, she shouldn't have. She shouldn't have quit school, and she shouldn't have had those babies out of wedlock. By the way, the boyfriend, they were living together, but now he's left and married somebody else. What do you do? How do you help that situation? I don't know, but I know God knows everything, including the answers to our problem. So while I may not know the answer, I know somebody who does. Right? While I may not know the answer, I know somebody who does. He knows the answer. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength, and His understanding is infinite. There's no limit. He knows it all. He knows it all. And I'm on His team as a Christian, right? As a Christian, I'm on His team, and He knows it all. And He gives me the opportunity to talk to Him. He's all-knowing. He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He is in control of everything. See, Lee, I thought you believed in man's free will. I do. But I also believe in God's sovereignty. And I don't believe my free will ever override His sovereignty. God is in control. Period. He is in control. Nothing happens outside of His permissive will. Nothing. He is in control. You look around at the world, who does it seem like's in control? Doesn't seem like God's in control. Seems like Satan's in control or somebody else. Doesn't seem like, but God is in control. And sometimes, in the midst of my problems, I need to remind myself, God is still on His throne. He is still in control. And that ought to give me comfort. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. He is a sovereign God. And what a blessing that is when I face the problems that I got myself into, right? The things that I messed up. He's in control. He is a holy God. He is completely righteous. Completely righteous. Isaiah 6:3 says, and one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. One of our purposes in our worship service is to come before God and to talk about His greatness and His holiness and His perfection and His righteousness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. God is all powerful. He can do anything He wants to. But there are certain things that the Bible says God cannot do. Cannot be tempted. Cannot be tempted to sin. We're going to see in just a minute or two, He cannot lie. So while God can do anything, there are certain limitations on that limit, on that deal, because being God, He does not sin. He is never tempted to sin. God is truthful. He'll always tell me the truth. My best friends may not always tell me the truth. You ever been tempted to kind of lie a little bit to your best friend because you just feel like he may not be able to handle it. He may not be able to deal with it. My father died with cancer, and his doctor and my mother decided not to tell him. Not to tell him he had cancer. And I was not in a position to argue with that. That's what the doctor suggested, and they decided not to tell him. And I may, if I get in that position, may want somebody to treat me like that, but I think I want you to tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. Whatever it is, just tell me the truth. sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is difficult to swallow. But I'm glad I deal with a God who always tells me the truth. He's not going to lie to me. He's going to tell me the truth. You ever known a person who will lie when the truth would serve him better? I had a friend one time that just seemed to be an habitual liar. And he would tell you a lie when it seemed like to me, had he told the truth, he'd have been better off. Even if he's totally selfish. But he just seemed like he's going to tell a lie. And boy, if you got to deal with somebody who's a liar, you got a mess. Because you can't depend on what they say. You can't trust them. But God, you can trust him. He's going to always tell you the truth. So by two things, two unchangeable things, and which it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. He's going to tell me the truth. That's the reason I believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. I don't believe there's any errors in the original manuscripts. Not any. You say, well, Lee, God inspired it, but there were men involved. And there were, about 40 of them. And you say, well, men make mistakes. Yeah, they do. But did you know sometimes in certain situations, men are perfect? You say, wait a minute. When? Let me give you an example. And believe it or not, it's going to be an example from me. Okay? In which there's a limited period in which I am perfect. You ready? 2 plus 2 equals 4. Is that perfect or not? You know any errors in that statement? That's perfect. So for a limited period of time, at certain points, man can be perfect. Guess what happens when God overrules what he's writing? It's perfect. Therefore, I believe the Bible is absolutely truth. Absolutely truth. Because God cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the way. Tell me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. God is truth. I got a little sticker I put on the back of my truck sometime, a magnetic bumper sticker, that says truth matters. Truth matters. I want to know the truth. And when I talk to God, God always tells me the truth. He never, never lies. God is righteous and just. He always treats me fairly. Always. The strength of the king loves justice. You have established equity, and you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. You are just and righteous. You know, people ask me difficult questions. How about the people who never heard the gospel? Well, I don't always know the right answer to all those difficult questions, but I do know that God's going to always do what's right. God's going to always do what's right. Don't have to worry about that. Not have to worry about it. And in the court system in the land in which I live, I may get mistreated. The court may make the wrong decision about some decision, about my crimes or whatever. But with God, I am never going to be treated unfairly. Never. He is always just. He is always righteous. And I don't have to worry about not being treated fairly. God is loving. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? God is love. God is love. God is a loving God. For God so loved the world. God is a loving God. Can you think about going into the presence of the most powerful being in the universe and he loves me? He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. And as I face problems and difficulties, as you face problems and difficulties, What assurance that is that God loves me. You ever been in the midst of a problem and feel like God does not love you? Everything is going wrong. And you say, well, God says he loves me. But how about this situation? No, God loves you. I don't care what the situation is. God loves you. And so as you look at God's greatness and God's love from the midst of your problems, that's great assurance that God loves me. In the midst of my difficulties, he still loves me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I have a melancholy personality, therefore I have a tendency to say nobody loves me. And I even joke about it, nobody loves me, and worse yet, nobody cares that nobody loves me. The fact is, God loves me. And God loves you. You say, well, Lee, but I messed up. God still loves you. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us. And that makes a world of difference in facing the problems of life, to know that God loves us. God is merciful. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God loves us. And God is a merciful God. A merciful God. You see, sometimes I want to be treated fairly. You just do what's right. You just do what's right by me, and we'll be all right. The fact is, when I face God, I don't want to be treated fairly. I want to be treated with mercy. I want to throw myself on the mercy of my God. And I serve a merciful God. I serve a merciful God that has shown his mercy to me. God is faithful. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. God is faithful. Your husband may not be faithful. Your wife may not be faithful. Your best friend may not be faithful. Your business partner may not be faithful. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He's committed to you, and he always will be, even in the midst of your problems. He's still faithful. That 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about facing temptations and trials and problems and difficulties. And in the middle of that verse, it says, God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. Sometimes when I'm going through the problems, I feel like God is not faithful. I feel like there's no way out. So I need to remind myself, yep, God is faithful. He said, whatever I face, there's going to be a way out. That's what he said. And he does not lie. He's always faithful. So there is a way out. And I need to find it. God is unchanging. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadows. You ever work with a boss who's always changing his mind? He give you an assignment and you get to working on that thing, sit up half the night thinking about that thing, get it solved, get about halfway done, you're rolling along, he come in and said, oh, we changed our mind, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. We change. I'll not tell this on my wife, but my wife many times will tell me, says, we're going to Walmart tonight. We usually go to Walmart together, which is another story. But anyway, but she'll say, we're going to Walmart tonight. And so I plan to go to Walmart tonight. I figure out what I'm going to buy, what I want, and all that kind of stuff. She comes home and says, I'm too tired. We're not going to Walmart tonight. So she changed her mind. Yes, what I do. If I want to go to Walmart, I just go to Walmart. I don't wait for her. So But God is unchanging. I don't have to worry about God changing his mind. God, yeah, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to be changing all the time. He's the same. I can trust him. God is the God of love. God is the God of mercy. But God also is a God of wrath. God will punish sin. God will punish sin. Let me read you this verse from the New Testament. Not the Old Testament, the New Testament. Listen to it. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Fear is not the best motivation, but fear is a legitimate motivation. You know the reason you lock your home at night? Fear. You know the reason most of you lock your cars when you get out of them? Fear. You know the reason most of you don't drive 90 miles an hour down the highway? Fear. And so fear is not the best motivation. It's not the highest motivation. But fear is a legitimate motivation. And we need to fear God because God's going to punish sin. God is going to punish sin. And God don't lie to me. He tells me he's going to punish sin. And so I need to know that going in. That God is not just some kind of grandfather figure to let me get by with anything. No, God means business. You know, occasionally we talk about, well, the God of the Old Testament was like that. News flash. The God of the Old Testament is the same God as in the New Testament. Same God. No difference. The same God who destroyed the entire world and everybody in it with a flood is the same God we serve. God will punish sin. And while it sounds good to talk about God as loving and merciful, and all those things are true, but if you have just that side of God and you forget that God is a God of justice and a God of wrath, you have a one-sided view and a complete incomplete view of God. And it's good for us to know that as I face problems. As I deal with my life, I need to know sin is a very serious matter. I can't just do anything I want to do because God will punish sin. God is a God of wrath as well as a God of mercy. And I need to understand what God is like. And the fact is, I'll never fully understand God. But as I look at church history, I didn't do a research on this, okay, so don't hold me to the times, but back, I don't know, about the 1800s or something like that, all the sermons you read emphasize you need to fear God. And, you know, Jonathan, somebody preached a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and described you like on a spider web hanging over the fires of hell. And so it was a big deal that you need to fear God, you need to fear God, you need to fear God. And then we came around, we went to the other extreme, and then God is the God of love. He loves everybody. No matter what you do, it's okay. It's all right. God just loves you and pats you on the head, and it's all right. Well, both of those extremes are wrong because you need to understand God totally. He is a God of wrath, and he is a God of love. If I reject his love, I'm going to face his wrath. Right? If I reject his mercy, I'm going to face his judgment. And so I need to understand that about God. I don't need to just take one quality of God and say God is love, and that's all I know about God. I need to understand God as a total being. Now, while I say that, I still say you'll never fully understand God, but you're just fooling yourself if you just take a part of what you know about God or what the Bible says about God and say that's God totally. Life is a series of problems to be solved. It is much better to go through the problems with God than without him. Life is a series of problems to be solved. Christians have problems just like non-Christians. And it is much better to go through the problems with God than without God. We took some of the attributes of God and looked at them selfishly. We looked at them, what does that attribute of God mean to me in the problems I'm facing? That God is merciful is such a blessing when I realize I'm a sinner. When God is loving, when I don't even feel real loving to myself sometimes, I get fed up with myself sometimes. That ever happen to you? But God is loving. God is also just. He's going to do what's right. God is a God of forgiveness, mercy. God is a God of justice and wrath. Same God. Same God. And as I face problems, I need to know all those things about God. Life is a series of problems to be solved. It is much better. It is much better to go through the problems with God rather than without Him. I'm glad. I am thine, O Lord.